There are a few notes I made on this leader of Vamadeva. Sweet pastime, actually. How? Oh. God. Cheated. Dalai Maharaj, Brahman cheated. There are very many interesting, in every pastime. It's very interesting that he said, well, you're very foolish. You only want 3 steps of land, I can give you so much. And Lord Vamadev says, well, you know, we're Brahmins, we shouldn't be greedy, we shouldn't take more than we need. And he preaches all this thing about we just Brahmins, we should be just take a little bit, and then he just takes everything. Okay, here are a few of my notes I made. I thought it's such a nice leela. I thought I'd make a little book about it sometime, and I thought I had so many plans for books. They never, I'm just thinking about it. They hardly happen. So here are a few points. The demons were, they were a militaristic people. They're always thinking of fighting. Dambho dharbhavimanascha krodha parishunevacha agyana chavicha vacha Partha, Sampadam, Asuri, demons are always full of pride, conceit, arrogance, envy, nastiness, ignorance. These are the qualities of bad qualities of demons. So they are militaristic people, and as such, they're always on the lookout for spies. Because when you're always thinking of attacking others, you're always afraid of others attacking you. And there's always politics and diplomacy going on. So those who are in politics, in the business of politics and fighting, they know that one traitor within your ranks is more dangerous than thousands of soldiers on the other side. And the higher placed an officer is, and the more he's trusted, then the more of a liability he is, the more dangerous he is. Because if such a person turns around or happens to have some contact with the other party, they can do so much damage, more than a little private can do. So there are many instances in history of such turncoats, but it was unimaginable to the demons that their king, who was the very one for which they were all rallying around, and they were fighting in his name, doing everything, that he himself would turn against them all. All their aspirations for opulent life, power, profuse sense enjoyment, they were all reposed in the king, King Vali. And he himself turned against them. Archetypal Quisling. Of course, he wasn't. Quisling turned to, he was a leader. At least Hitler made him a leader when he was. So he turned towards, you know that Quisling? You don't know the name Quisling?
Hmm.
No. It's a word, and it's entered the English language. It means a traitor, the word Quisling, which happened to be the name of the Norwegian leader who cooperated with Hitler when he invaded the country and became the leader of the country until Hitler got thrown out and Quisling got executed. So he was a leader who cooperated with the enemy. So he was cooperating with Hitler, which wasn't very good, because Hitler wasn't such a nice guy. But of course, Bali Maharaj, he was actually a traitor. He not only went against his guru, he went against all the demons and everything he stood for, and his duty as a king, all the Raja Dharma, everything that a king should do, his responsibility, which he faithfully executed up to that time. He, as a responsible king of the demons, he attacked the heavenly planets, attacked the demons. That's what demons are supposed to do. The king of the demons is supposed to rally the strength of the demons and take them up and fight against the demigods. So he did all that. But at a moment's notice, he changed. Because He went to, actually he wasn't a traitor, he acted in the best interest of the demons, and if they had all followed him, that would have been in their best interest also. But from their point of view, he was the biggest traitor in history. Made Quisling look like a child's play. Okay. So there may have been some within his heart, there may have been some, you know, what should I do now? Because all the time, we can understand that it wasn't actually such a sudden thing that he surrendered to Lord Vishnu, because he had been coached by Prahlad Maharaj surreptitiously, no doubt. Because the demons, they weren't expecting what happened. Their whole world got suddenly turned upside down. Here they are, they went to so much effort and conquered the heavenly planets, and here they are, everything's gone fine. All of a sudden, all finished. So, when Vamandev came, and then Dali Maharaj was put on the spot, so to speak, here was his duty towards the demons, and then his duty towards Lord Vishnu, who says, Sarvadhamam Pavitya Mave Kam Sharanam, Sarvadha, give up everything for my sake, surrender to you. And there was the test. Is he going to surrender to Vamandev, or is he going to continue his worldly duty, sarvadharma, his worldly duties? He was right on the spot. It wasn't a matter of doing sadhana for 20 years or 50 years and then gradually surrendering. He had it right in front of him, right at that spot. He was saying, now is your chance to surrender. Are you going to do it or not? So, within Dali Maharaj's heart, that which he had nurtured within so much time, that came to the fore, and all his social responsibilities, prestige, position, he gave it up as worthless. He couldn't deny the strong waves of devotion flowing within his heart. This is not very good. It's not in order. I'm just going to look at some different points here. Well, there have been many great kings in history, but hardly any could even aspire for what Dali Maharaj actually achieved. We find that Napoleon, he was very ambitious. Hitler, very ambitious. So Hitler was aspiring to conquer all of Europe. He wasn't able to do it. But they couldn't even dream of conquering the whole universe. But what they aspired to was they couldn't achieve. But that, even to conquer all over all of Europe, that was insignificant in comparison to what Dali Maharaj actually achieved, namely the overlordship of the whole universe. Hiranyakashipu had conquered over the universe and Prahlad had inherited the throne. And then the son of Prahlad was Virochana, and the son of Virochana was Dali Maharaj. So it appears that along the line, it's not stated clearly, along the line either Prahlad or Virochana lost the throne, because Hiranyakashipu had the whole universe, and then Prahlad was made the king, or maybe at that time Indra was put back in this position, it's quite like an also. But anyway, the demons were very happy to have Dali Maharaj back on the throne and everything. It's, you know, it's our actual birthright. Hiranyakashipu conquered the universe. It's just like the Muslims in India, they think that we were ruling India. The British came and took over, and then when they went out, we should have been put back in charge again. That's what they think. So they considered that the overlordship of the universe, or the throne of heaven, was the rightful heritage of the demons. So Dali Maharaj appeared to be the most successful materialist ever. No materialist could, Bill Gates or King of Brunei or whoever all these rich guys are. They're just, you know, little beggars compared to Dali Maharaj. But despite all these things, Dali Maharaj remained dissatisfied, even in the midst of undreamt of opulence. Hiranyakashipu had also been dissatisfied in the same situation. but for a different reason. Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied with the overlordship of the universe because he was a demon who desired sense gratification, and sense gratification doesn't bring satisfaction. But Bali Maharaj was dissatisfied because he considered the overlordship of the universe as being no more significant than having a few pieces of, as Samalavashtamashma Kanchana, Dhruv Maharaj, here, when he got his position as overseeing the Dhruvalok planet, a position even greater than Lord Brahma's, he considered it no more significant than having some pieces of broken glass. So, Bali Maharaj was similarly dissatisfied because he had no interest actually in material opulence. As a matter of duty, he had secured it for the demons, but he had heard from Prahlad Maharaj what is the actual goal of life. Nate vidu swate gati hi Vishnu. The materialistic people don't know that the goal of life is Vishnu, but Bali Maharaj did. He had heard from Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaram, Padasevanam, Arjunam, Bhangatam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So this is what he desired in his heart of heart. He desired Atmanivedanam, to surrender everything to the Lord. And the Lord came and gave him the opportunity to surrender everything. Now, if we have to surrender everything, what do we have to surrender? A pair of shoes or clothing or something. Bali Maharaj on the whole universe. It wasn't possible that Bali Maharaj could have surrendered everything just on the spur of the moment unless he had been cultivating bhakti within his heart. Nor would Vamana have approached a person to give him so much mercy unless he was a devotee. If he was just any old demon kid, then Vishnu would have come in another form and killed him. That's all. But because he was a devotee, he came to give him so much mercy. Although he appeared to everyone to be a demon, Vamandeva as the, or Lord Vishnu as the super soul in everyone's heart, knew what his actual heart's desire was and reciprocated with him accordingly. Now we can compare Kali Maharaj with Prahlad Maharaj, who had been born in a demon's family, but from the very beginning of his life, he rebelled and openly declared his Vishnu Bhakti. But Bali Maharaj was, he was more careful. He was also a devotee raised in a family of demons. But he maintained the appearance of being a demon to the extent of conquering the heavenly planets and expelling the demigods from them. Now, Prahlad Maharaj influenced Bali Maharaj to be a devotee. So this suggests that he must have tried to do the same thing with Virochana. Although Virochana is known as a demon, he's not only born in the family of demons, but he actually was a demon in the spirit of Hiranyakashipu. So, how is that? Well, I gave some various speculations. It may have been that the leaders of the demons knew that Prahlad Maharaj would try to influence his son, and they wanted to be demons. They weren't actually very happy having a devotee as their king, so they must have been very careful that Virochana didn't get influenced by his father. Another thing is that the son tends to follow the nature of the grandfather rather than the father. The son follows the nature of the mother, actually. So, in this way, he will tend to follow the nature of the maternal grandfather. Because the father's nature goes towards the daughter. So he would be more likely to have followed him in the, his character would be more like that of his maternal grandfather. I don't know how that is. Anyway, these are just some different thoughts.
Was Virochana devoted too?
No, he was a demon.
Prahlad didn't have any influence on
him. Yeah. I was just trying to speculate on, or try to understand why that is. Mm-hmm. He was also killed, actually. But it's, I found it in the Purana somewhere. I can't remember just now. That, another thing, it may be that, that point that Vilochana was not interested in devotional structures having been born with a demoniac nature in the Bhagavad Gita. That verse I was quoting, Kodam Parishanipta, Jnana, Chabijatasya. In this two verses, Krishna says that certain persons are born with demoniac tendency or devotional tendency. So certain persons are born with a very strong demoniac tendency. Some persons are born with a very strong devotional tendency. So it may be that Virochana was a committed demon from his very birth, just like Prahlad was a committed devotee from his very birth. It's not uncommon that children, even of great devotees, are inimical or at least apathetic to Vishnu Bhakti. We find that in Advaita Acharya's sons, some of them, they were not at all devotees. Now another point, there were many famous heroes of charity. Karna was a great known as Data. Karna is a very famous giver of charity. Jarasandha was famous in giving in charity. But Bali Maharaj was different because his giving in charity was not from based on the karma kanda section of the Vedas that he will get. Mostly the kings who gave in charity, well, one reason they did was as a duty. It's the duty of kings to give in charity. Another was that the kings, they will get good karma in future by doing so. Another is it brings them great fame. So, there are many great kings who gave in charity. But, Bali Maharaj did it as an act of bhakti. And actually, in the eyes of the demons, he achieved not fame, but infamy. Anyway, there are many points, but we're going to have a little meeting, and it looks like devotees are melting away, and in the long run, it may be more important. Maybe we go through this. Anyway.